Our college years are ones of discovery and a reflection of ourselves. And for many, it's one of the greatest challenges as we transition into working adults. In these audio confessions, you will hear two stories that share heartwarming memories, moments of peril, and transformative experiences. Stories that shape identities and redefine relationships. Welcome to College Confessions.
When I was younger, romantic love for me was just that kind of fairy tale storybook, like fated to be type of stuff. And it was very, when I was younger, it was very trope based. I was always just looking for romance, looking for someone who would care about me, looking for that dream person that was going to come and make everything better. Eventually, I was just doing stuff because my friends did it or thought it was cool that I did it. Maybe if I'm like them, I will also get a partner, someone to love and go on dates with and be all cute with. But I really, like, lost myself. Losing myself was like trying to hold on to a rope in the middle of a storm where you're just being blown about constantly and hit with rocks and hitting up against things, and you just have to dedicate all of your focus and time to maintaining that. Everything upset me a lot easier. It was very overwhelming, walking deeper and deeper just into a storm. And it all just reached ahead, and I really realized I didn't know myself. And I just really stepped back from it all. It was a really radical and kind of intense action. It was not a slow, like, finding myself, removing myself. No, this was a full step back from everyone I knew. And I just kind of fell off the world. Most of my day-to-day was, a key aspect of it was spending as much time outside as possible. Even doing little things, like doing homework, I would sit on the porch or go sit in a park like all day and just read and write and listen to music and listen to stories and try and work myself out. Nature really became a way for me to restore and replenish my natural self, my raw self that hasn't been affected by society and expectation and social media addictions. So being in nature gave me a way to tap into the raw natural parts that made myself up. There was an aspect of rewiring my brain and not daydreaming or obsessing over scenarios with other people, obsessing over opinions of other people. And at that point, I had basically given up on any ideas of romance or dating people ever. For a while, I was pretty sure I just didn't need it in my life at all. I had finally found myself, and that's all I wanted. And then, like most good things in life, it found me when I was least expecting it and I was least looking for it. We gravitated to each other naturally. He laughed at all of my jokes. He was listening to all of my stories. I was listening to his. And that was something I hadn't really felt before, because I had always been trying to directly please other people when I was talking to them. So just being myself and having that reaction was kind of crazy. And that's when I knew my search was over. And I finally found someone who would be there for me for the rest of my life.
With Aromantic Awareness Week coming up, it's kind of important that I start sharing who I am and what it means to me as a person. Love is such a weird emotion. It's so strange because there's platonic love, familial love, and then there's obviously romance. I first discovered aromanticism in the 10th grade after a situation with someone who did have a crush on me. He was very adamant about getting my attention, and in my head, I never saw that as, like, romance. He was just there, he was being a good friend, and that was it. Going into 10th grade, we had two classes together, and it was the week before homecoming. We were in math class. We had just gotten out. We're walking up the stairwell, and he's like, do you want to go homecoming? I'm like, huh? What? And he's like, do you want to go to homecoming with me? And I'm like, I'm kind of like walking up the stairwell a little slower. Like, the bell's about to ring a second time, and I'm like, well, crap, I got to get to class. I can't really think about it. So I'm like, sure, I'm going with a group. Would you like to come with my group? Not even considering this was not like a promposal, but whatever the homecoming equivalent was. Like, homecoming proposals are, in my mind, they're supposed to be big. It's supposed to have a gift or flower or a really cheesy sign. So my thought was, oh, he just wants to join my group. We end up going to homecoming together. I get a corsage and I ask my mom, why did you get me a corsage? And she's like, well, you have a date. I'm like, no, he just joined the group. She's like, no, he formally asked you. And I said, oh, huh, interesting. Homecoming happens. I ditch him. I didn't see his face once at the dance. I was talking to my friend and I said, I don't know where he is. My good friend Aldwin, he was like, yeah, he's kind of looking for you. I was like, oh, is he now? Well, I'm leaving. Bye. And I left. It was after that I found out the reason my teacher sat us next to each other because she thought we wanted to be a couple. You know how teachers do that. They kind of put you together. Aww. And I said, ma'am, I want to move away from him. Never sit me next to him again. And I never sat next to him again, but he still brought me stuff. And at this point, I didn't know what aromanticism was. But eventually, I Googled it. And that's something no one should do. No one should Google what they are. But I did, and I found a subsection of asexuality, and aromanticism is like the sister to asexuality. They're in the same category of you don't feel a certain way, and that's a very generalization of it. The end goal of every human's life is to find romance, and that is what our society is based around. The word for it is called amatonormativity. So being aromantic is pulling myself out of that. It was after that situation, I just pulled away from a lot of my friends. I didn't talk to people. I kind of stayed in my own lane trying to figure out who I was and what I was. A lot of times we're associated with robots. People say I'm unfeeling and say that I can't understand what they are just because I don't feel romance or love. Society's expectations are that a woman settles down, a woman gets married, a woman has kids, and if you don't, you're that crazy cat lady that lives on the 9th floor with your 27 cats, and all you care about are your cats, and you're lonely, and you're sad, and you hate yourself, and you're gonna be ugly, and there's so many negative connotations with it. It's kind of almost damning on a person. You know, that's like the worst thing you could be when you grow up, because you need to marry your Prince Charming or the great guy, and it's going to be difficult once I reach 40 or 50 years old, and I'm still going to be hammered by my family, like, why don't you have a husband? It's those expectations that really hurt, because I want to build a career, I want to focus on that, or I want to focus on my friends, and, you know, I can't do that because I'm supposed to be in a relationship.
College Confessions is produced by Alex Lee, Arch Pingle, and Richard Powers. Today's episode was hosted by Kelly Tanner. Our first story, Through the Storm, was produced by Dominic Thomas, with music from Liborio Conti. Our second story, Not a Love Story, Discovering Aromanticism, was produced by Ivianka Robinson, with additional music by Sayuri Hayashi Egnall and Epidemic Sound. Make sure to catch our future confessions. Subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Like and follow us on Instagram at GASouthernFilm.